The Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spies.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, John Spies.
I'm your co-host, Adam Spies.
Today we are continuing our Elite Eight round in our 2024 Patron Tournament. In one corner, he ain't no Russian, but let's have a discussion about his concussion repercussion. It's Will, are you sure you're okay? Denison. Will, how are you doing?
What? I'm sorry, I can't, what? I'm doing fine. I bashed my head open last night, which is the reference there. And as the guys saw this morning, I've got a little gash on my forehead. And I'm pretty sure I was concussed last night. There's no question about it.
Are you feeling better today?
I feel great today. I'm ready. This is one of the highlights of my life, because now, even though I'm playing with house money, I should not have even made the tournament. And then winning the first game was wonderful. And now, given the round we're in, I think this officially makes me an elite trivia player. So I'm putting that on my resume moving forward.
There you go. Let's find out who you're going to be playing against. In the other corner, he'll crawl, ball, and brawl his way through the competition. But he don't need no Adderall. It's Paul the Thrall McLaughlin. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Why don't you remind the folks at home a little bit about you?
Paul McLaughlin, Pittsburgh, late of the Jersey Shore, but been out here for going on a year now this summer. Excited to be here.
Well, folks, let's learn how to play the game.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, because I want to know Paul and Will just a little bit better, and Will was showing me his championship belt that he's got. I want to know, who is your favorite 20th century wrestler?
My favorite 20th century wrestler of anyone? Of anyone? I have to go to the cream of the crop. Ooh, yeah.
I'm gonna need a name, sir. I'm going to need a name.
Randy Poffo.
He doesn't understand references on wrestling.
Randy,
all that much.
The Macho Man Savage. Ooh, yeah.
Actually, I did understand that reference.
Well, sure,
I still wanted a verbal confirmation.
Well, yeah, yeah. Hard not to know Macho Man.
Sure.
Easy one for me. Adam, we were on a Zoom call last night. Do you happen to recall what shirt I was wearing?
Oh, no. I mean, usually it's some kind of punk band, so I don't think I remember that one.
Well, a lot of times it is. Not last night. It was the high flying wheel and deal and kiss steal and Nature Boy. Woo! Ric Flair. Oh,
there you go.
So both classic wrestlers, both guys I have actually heard of, but between the two, I always had a lot of fun seeing the Macho Man on TV. Just very entertaining, even for someone who didn't watch wrestling.
Now, so Slim Jims were already delicious, but you add Macho Man to the list. Yeah, I'm gonna buy him every time.
Snip into it. Yeah.
Once Will said that, I knew. All right, I'm dead in the water here. It doesn't matter what I say.
Actually, if you'd said Hulk Hogan, I probably would have given it to you.
Well, I would never say that.
All right, Will, you're going to start us off. What category would you like to select?
Well, this is unfortunate. Paul and I have a whole lot of overlap in things that we like and things that we're good at. So I'm just going to take sports right now.
The decade is the 60s.
I'm going to take music then.
Decade is still the 60s. I already rolled.
Hey, I know you. You're Lou Alcindor. You're a 19-time NBA All-Star, 6-time champion, and Basketball Hall of Famer. I think you're the greatest. But my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense. Listen, kid, call me this name instead.
So you're asking for Lou Alcindor's real name? That's the question? Or his
that is the question.
Current name, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is correct.
I mean, call me daddy, I think is that quotation, isn't it?
No, that's all from the movie Airplane.
Airplane.
Okay.
Try dragging Leitner up and down the court for 8 minutes.
Well, I'm glad that was a sports question and not a movies question, because I did not know the movie reference, that's for sure.
All right, Paul, what do you want to pick?
All right, we are going to take music.
Music? And it's the 90s.
What Australian soap opera star charted the song Torn in 1998?
In 90, okay. Well, you said Australian soap opera star. I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be no problem. It's going to be Rick Springfield, but no. He wasn't even Australian. soap opera star, that's the first thing that came to mind. Torn was Natalie Imbruglia.
Natalie Imbruglia is correct.
Yeah. My head went to Kylie Minogue when you said, I thought she did it like... Australian soap opera as well, maybe back in the day.
She probably did, but yeah. She definitely didn't do the song Torn.
And
she did.
I wrote down my steal as Lisa Loeb because I knew it was Natalie Imbruglia, and I'm like, I got to come up with another one. No.
Yeah. All right, Will, we are back to you.
Okay, let's do movies.
Movies. And it's the 50s.
Ouch.
Barbara Luddy and Larry Roberts voiced the titular characters in what 1955 animated film? I wonder if they ever went out for Italian.
Oh, thank you for that. Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp is correct.
I had nothing. I'm like, animated two lead characters, male or female? I don't know.
I knew that was going to be tough without some kind of hint.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, thank you.
All right, Paul, we're back to you.
All right, we are going to go TV.
TV? And it's the 60s.
Michael Cole, Peggy Lipton, and Clarence William III starred in what 1968 counterculture police series produced by Aaron Spelling about a trio of reformed juvenile delinquents who work as undercover cops?
Is that the Mod Squad?
The Mod Squad is correct.
Wow. Good pull. Sounds like 21 Jump Street.
It does, yeah.
A little bit.
That might have been the inspiration. You never know. All right, we are even keel. And Will, it is your turn to pick.
All right, Adam, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce this word. L-I-T something something. What is it?
What was it? Light Rat Uri, someone once told me. But Light Rat Uri. Literature is not the way to say it. Is the way to say it? Literature coming at you. Yeah.
You got them all confused.
I got. Yeah, exactly. You ruined me.
Adam, and now I need a roll.
Oh, yeah, my turn. It's still my job.
That's my fault. I got him involved in the program.
And it's the 2000s.
What book by Iranian author and professor Azar Nafisi consists of a memoir of the author's experiences about returning to Iran during the Islamic Revolution and living under the Islamic Republic of Iran government until her departure in 1997?
I have... absolutely no idea. I have no recollection of that name or that plot. We're going to call it Proud Muslim Woman.
Proud Muslim Woman is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
Can I get a reread, please?
What book by Iranian author and professor Azar Nafisi consists of a memoir of the author's experiences about returning to Iran during the Islamic Revolution and living under the Islamic Republic of the government until her departure in 1997.
I have no idea if this woman is the author of this book, but I am very vaguely aware of The Veiled Threat.
The Veiled Threat is also incorrect.
You're this very vaguely aware?
Very vaguely aware.
This was an extremely tough one. I basically gave you no context clues, and part of that was I was up really late filling out these questions, so I just put in very quickly. It was a very highly rated book when I looked it up. It's called Reading Lolita in Tehran is the name of the memoir.
Okay.
All right. Well, That's on me. Let's go to... I think we're back to Paul, and left we've got toys and games, news and politics, fashion, slang, and food.
Let's do toys and games, please.
All right, little toys and games. And it's the 80s.
And we have a question from Brian Nash. Thank you, Brian. Ooh. In the 1989 Nintendo game simply titled 720 Degrees, you play as an unnamed participant in what Olympic sport?
720 was skateboarding, right?
Skateboarding is correct. All right, Will, well, back to you. Hopefully we'll pick something that has a much better question.
Yeah, it is what it is. Let's try slang. Sometimes those are surprisingly easy.
And it's the 80s.
The origin of what term is unknown, but it was used by hip-hop pioneer Curtis Blow in a 1980 profile by Bill Adler in the New York Daily News, and consists mainly of four kinds of movement: top rock, down rock, power moves, and freezes.
Can you list the four again? The what the category that you gave them? That's the second half of the question.
It consists mainly of four kinds of movement.
Movement.
Top rock, down rock, power moves, and freezes.
You know what? I don't know if you're referencing dance or music in movement. I'm going to read the whole question one more time. I want to make sure that my answer is not in it. I'm sorry.
Sure. Okay. The origin of what term is unknown, but it was used by hip-hop pioneer Curtis Blow in a 1980 profile by Bill Adler in the New York Daily News, and consists mainly of four kinds of movement: top rock, down rock, power moves, and freezes.
So I was going to say hip-hop, so I'm glad I had you read the question again. It's not that. I'm coming up with terms that fit, but it's obvious what the source of those terms are, so none of them are going to work for that. The best of my bad answers, I'm going to say beatbox.
Beatbox is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
Cody was going to get there. This is breakdancing.
Breakdancing is correct. I thought you were going to get there too. You're definitely in the ballpark for sure. Mm-hmm. Paul, you got the steal. Now you get to pick a category.
Let's go news and politics.
News and politics. It's the 80s again.
In 1986, Melissa Stern, otherwise known as Baby M, was the first baby born after being produced via what adoption agreement process?
Really want to make sure that I get this right, because this all happened in my hometown. Mary Beth Whitehead, who was Baby M's surrogate mother, right? Yeah, yeah. This all happened in Brick Township, New Jersey. Yeah, surrogate mother.
Surrogate mother is correct.
Surrogacy is the correct answer.
Close enough.
All right.
All right, Will, we got fashion and food.
Food, please.
Okay. I think he chose the correct F word.
And it's the 90s.
I think I chose the wrong one.
90s kids churned up this General Mills oatmeal that brought your breakfast to the next level with a sweet blend of sugars and spices.
One more time.
90s kids churned up this General Mills oatmeal that brought your breakfast to the next level with a sweet blend of sugars and spices.
I have absolutely zero idea. Blend of sugars and spices.
And everything nice is.
Sweet blend of sugars and spices. Man, I do not know, and I apologize. I'll say Butter Lover.
Butter Lover. That's an awesome name. Is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
Just as a quick aside, we always buy the Butter Lovers popcorn bags for my daughter. She loves these things. Every time we go to Sam's Club, yep, got to buy one. And every time I pick up that box of Butter Lovers, yippee-ki-yay, always runs through my head.
Yippee-ki-yay, Butter Lover.
Were these called Swirlers?
Swirlers is correct.
Ooh, I have no idea how that one dredged up.
I thought churned was the clue in there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Churn, swirl.
Churn, swirl. When you first read it, I was like, I have absolutely no idea on this. Well, okay, Will's taking a while. Let me think of other words for churn.
I remember that, the swirlers. Yeah, I mean, they really tried to make oatmeal cool for kids. Like, you know, they're like, oh, you can make little designs and whatnot. It was, yeah, they were fine.
All right, that leaves fashion for Paul.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have to pick, but I got to roll. And it's the 50s.
Don't toy with this standard clothing item that was usually solid colored and displayed a miniature design applique and was popular with teenage girls.
Is this a poodle squirt? Poodle skirt.
Butter loving and poodle squirting.
A poodle skirt is correct. All right, that is the end of round one. Adam, what is our score?
It's a little lopsided right now, but if what can happen in round one can also be reversed in round two. Paul is currently ahead with 70, and Will's a little bit trailing with 20.
All right, well, Will got to pick first in round one. So, Paul, you're going to pick for Will to start off round two. What category do you want to give him?
We are going to give Will toys.
Oh, toys and games. And it's the 90s.
Mortal Kombat's 1 and 2 were two of the most successful arcade fighting games in history. In 1995, Midway introduced the third installment of the franchise. Name any one of the characters new to the franchise in Mortal Kombat 3.
I am not a video game guy. I didn't know there was a Mortal Kombat 3. So any of the characters that I've heard of are not the correct answer. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they created a character that is a real life person, because that would be fun. And you said 1995. You can play as Mike Tyson in Mortal Kombat 3, and you should definitely do that. He is a killer.
I hope he kills Jake Paul.
I would have loved to play as Mike Tyson in Mortal Kombat 3. Unfortunately, that is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
I have no idea. I mean, I can list off a ton of characters, but okay. I'm running through like who I know was in 1 and 2 and eliminating them. So it's going to be somebody I regard as a minor character. Let's try Striker.
Striker is correct.
Wow, yeah. That's a good, that was a good guess.
Cyrax, Cable, Nightwolf, Sektor, Sindel, Shiva, and Striker. We're all the new
was
ones.
Motaro not in that group, I guess?
Nope.
Oh, man. Okay.
How about Chun-Li? That's the one I know.
Wrong.
Wrong game.
Wrong game.
I know all right. That.
All right, Will, you got to pick for Paul.
Let's give Paul fashion.
Okay. It's probably a smart move.
And it's the 90s. What haircut, popularized by Marlo Thomas in the 1966 TV series That Girl, made a comeback in the second half of the 90s, with celebrities like Madonna, Drew Barrymore, and Toni Braxton sporting the look?
I always thought it was just called the That Girl, but I don't know. I'm just going to say a Bob.
Bob is incorrect. Will, can you steal?
Well, given that Bob was the only thing I could come up with, I'm going to guess no. If it's not Bob, could it be Dick or Harry, Tom? I don't know. How about the Feathered Lair?
The Feathered Lair is also incorrect. This was known as the Pixie Cut.
Oh, right.
Pixie.
Oh,
okay.
All right. And Paul, I believe you are now picking for Will.
We are going to give Will, let's give him news and politics.
And it's the 60s.
On August 2nd, 1964, the USS Maddox, on an intelligence mission along North Vietnam's coast, allegedly fired upon and damaged several torpedo boats that had been stalking it in what body of water?
The South China Sea?
South China Sea is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
What year again?
1964.
I have no idea. Gulf of Tonkin.
Gulf of Tonkin is correct.
Oh, shit.
It was a thing that set off the whole Gulf of Tonkin incident.
Yeah, I knew that was a military thing.
All right, Will, unfortunately, you got to give Paul a category.
No.
No, other way around.
No, okay.
Paul, no, it's not it. The other way around. I'm just not doing it.
Oh, okay. It's not the other way around. Okay, my bad.
Okay, so I guess I'll pick my own then.
Yeah, our first ever.
Just all right. He chose slang.
He chose slang, and it is the 60s.
In the 60s, a good-looking woman might be called what? Hendrix wrote a whole song about it.
Foxy lady. Wow, 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 wow.
Foxy is correct. Paul, what do you want to give to Will? We've got movies, music, TV, sports, and literature and food left.
Literature.
Let's go lit.
All right. Literature coming at you, Will.
Let's get lit.
And it's the 70s.
This 1973 Kurt Vonnegut novel is set in the fictional town of Midland City, Ohio, and focuses on two characters, Dwayne Hoover and Kilgore Trout, who at no point eat a bowl of Wheaties.
Thank you for that. Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah. Breakfast of Champions is correct.
So when I was in college, for some reason, my entire group of friends were into Kurt Vonnegut all at the same time. And I just could never get into anything he wrote. Like, I never got it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not for everyone.
I've never read his stuff.
All right, Will, what do you want to give to Paul?
Food.
And it's the 50s.
Did you bring me my processed cheese spread produced by Kraft Foods, boy? It was first sold in 1952. But don't confuse it with that spray crap.
Is this Velveeta?
Velveeta. It's incorrect.
Nope.
Will, can you steal?
Can you read it again?
Did you bring me my processed cheese spread produced by Kraft Foods, boy? It was first sold in 1952. But don't confuse it with that spray crap.
Processed cheese spread. And obviously you're quoting a movie. And Adam knows the movie. Like, I could see it in his eyes. So
like, yes, I want to talk.
So it must be from whatever that stupid thing is with Eddie Murphy I've never heard of.
I hate you.
Something about leaving for America, or I don't know. I can't remember. I can see the jar, and I've had it, and you dip the knife in it, and you spread it on crackers, and it's don't confuse me with Cheese Whiz, and you didn't say Cheese Whiz, so I wonder if that's in the name somewhere, or if that's just part of the quotation from the movie that I don't know, but I can't remember what that jar is called, like what's on the name on that jar. It's an orange semi-solid substance in it. I can see the Kraft logo on it in my head, but I do not remember what it's called. You called it a processed cheese spread, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So none of those words are probably in the title. I pass. I'm sorry. I can't come up with anything.
All right, Paul, can you steal?
No.
Oh, sure. let me try.
He screwed up with Velveeta.
Oh, that's right.
Let me talk. I want to talk.
Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
Okay.
Poor
the interesting things, I don't even know where to start because Will.
Let me talk.
Will. I'm smacking you. Smack your head a little bit, but not on your gash. Because you said it twice in that you said it. It's like that Cheese Whiz stuff or whatever. And it's like, yeah, because its brand name is Cheese Whiz. It's called and the movie is Blues Brothers. Did you get me my Cheese Whiz, boy? And Elwood tosses it to the old guy. But he does confuse it with that Easy Cheese spread because it is.
Yeah.
But Easy Cheese is what you were probably thinking of. But Cheese Whiz is in the jar. And that's the quote. Cheese Whiz.
I had it in my head, and I was 100% convinced that stupid can that you tipped on it. I thought that was Cheese Whiz, and I couldn't come up with the name of the other one.
It gets confused a lot. A lot of people call it Cheese Whiz, but it's not. It's Easy Cheese. Cheese Whiz is the spread.
And it's in a jar.
Oh, Adam, I could just see you bursting at the seams that whole time.
I was just like, holy shit, he said it twice in a row. And then he passes like, oh, no, Will.
And I'm sitting there the whole time going, yeah, Cheese Whiz is the thing they're saying don't say.
I
was right there with you, Will. That's why I said Velveeta.
All right, where are we? Now I'm completely lost.
Sports, music, TV.
No, I know that. I mean, who's picking
who's
for who?
Who's giving to who?
Paul's giving to Will.
I'm giving to him.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
Okay, we are going to give Will movies.
Okay.
But some of that 70s. Eddie Murphy crap that he doesn't know.
Yeah, hey, hey, it's good stuff. And yeah, but it wasn't Eddie Murphy, but someone he worked with a couple times. Dan Aykroyd was the one, is the guy who did it. Anyway, it's the 70s.
Okay. The story of what 1978 horror film is based on an experience the director slash composer had in college touring a psychiatric hospital where he met a child who stared at him, quote, with a look of evil, and it terrified me, end quote.
One more time.
The story of what 1978 horror film is based on an experience the director slash composer had in college touring a psychiatric hospital where he met a child who stared at him, quote, with a look of evil, and it terrified me, end quote.
I don't think this is right for a few reasons, but it's the best I can come up with. I'm going to say The Exorcist.
The Exorcist is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
Yeah, you had a... I love using director slash composer as an in that, there. Yeah, this is The Omen.
The Omen is also incorrect. This would be John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yeah, I knew it was John Carpenter.
He composed the theme to Halloween.
Yeah, he did. I know he does his own music quite a bit, yeah.
All right, Will, what do we want to give to Paul? We've got music, TV, and sports.
We'll give him TV.
Okay.
And it's the 70s.
What 60-minute popular science program exploded onto the scene in 1974 on PBS?
I have two answers. Exploded on. Nova.
Nova is correct. All right. And does that just leave music for Will?
Nope.
Oh, no, we got sports. We got sports as well.
Music and sports.
So do I give him his best?
You give him sports. You got me more than doubled up.
Yeah, let's give him sports.
And it's the 70s again, the three in a row.
In 1970, who won five F1 races and was leading the driver's championship before a fateful accident during what?
No, nothing. I was just commenting on Will.
Oh.
I said sports, not car racing.
I'm going to start over. In 1970, who won five F1 races and was leading the driver's championship before a fateful accident during a practice run killed him? He had accumulated enough points in the season to become the only F1 driver ever to win the championship posthumously.
If you ask me to be more specific, we are not friends any longer. Andretti.
Andretti is incorrect. All right. Paul, can you steal?
No, I'll say, wait a minute. I was just going to jokingly say, I'll say Andretti too. What the hell? Can I even name another F1 driver? Probably not. Let's make up a name. French folks like this, right? Cabernet.
Cabernet is also incorrect. I'm probably going to butcher this name. It's Jochen Rindt, Rindt. All right, I can tell by your enthusiasm that you're totally going to be going to watch some F1 after this.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves music for Paul.
It does. And it's the 60s.
If you took the guitarist from the Byrds, the guitarist from Buffalo Springfield, and the guitarist from the Hollies, you'd get what 1968 supergroup?
Byrds, Hollies, and
Buffalo Springfield.
And Buffalo Springfield. Just Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash is correct.
All right.
All right. That is the end of round two, and I'm afraid to ask, Adam, what is our score going into the final round?
Well, as Will did mention, Paul is more than doubled up. There are some tough questions heading towards Will this second half. He's got 30, but Paul, the dangling carrot in your mind.
I'm doing the math
you
right
do
now.
Not. You do not have this glorious 200 club pin, mind you, and you want it.
I do.
You need it.
I want it.
Think about it, because you've got 120, or is it 110? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yep, 120 points. So, you think you can do it? You think you can join the illustrious 200 club? You have a chance, sir. Think about it.
All right, but before we put in wages, we need to find out what categories are going to go into the final round. Paul, since you are in the lead, which category do you want?
Let's take music.
Okay. And it will be the 80s.
And Will.
Ninjutsu.
So sports?
Saved by the Bell?
We'll go with non-racing sports, yeah.
Non-racing sports. And it's the 90s.
All right. So, gentlemen, based on 80s music and 90s sports, I would like you to send your bids to Adam, please.
I'm going
to
say my bid out loud for the benefit of Mr. McLaughlin. Or, you know, maybe I'm lying, but I am going to bid 10. So if he bids his 80 and he doesn't get it, he still gets a tiebreaker.
All right. And then send me your real bids if you want. He's a lawyer. You can't trust him. You can't trust what he says. Will, you sent it so everyone could see.
I also said psych.
Yeah, you did psych. One of those. Not gotcha. All right. I see one bid is in. Okay. And the other bid is in.
All right. So here is your 80s music question. Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, and several other NFL players are credited with singing background vocals on two songs from Huey Lewis and the News' fourth studio album, Four. Name either one of the songs. And your 90s sports question. Under the captainship of Will Carling, what country won back-to-back Five Nations Championships, now called the Six Nations Championships, in 1991 and 1992, before capping off a superb 5 years with another title in 1995?
While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I want each and every one of you to go check out Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast. It's a great podcast that I talk about Seinfeld and have a good time with my buddy Corey. And Seinfeld, we've gone through every single episode. Now we're currently almost done with all of Curb Your Enthusiasm as well. Check it out. If you guys like Curb Your Enthusiasm, go to our Patreon and pop in for a buck or $5. You can get that tier. It's a great show. I have a good time. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I've got mine locked in.
I'm locked in.
All right. Let's find out what you put for your answers, Will, since you were behind. What did you put?
Well, the music question I got wrong. I don't know any Huey Lewis songs. I know one, so that's the one I listed. I know about Doc Brown. I know about Marty McFly. I know about The Power of Love. For sports, I went with Australia.
All right. And Paul?
Well, we're different on both. I have heard the Huey Lewis one before. I'm almost certain one of them was Hip to Be Square. And I have no idea who Will Carling is. I am just taking a stab in the dark here at England and praying.
All right. Well, the two songs off of the album Four that those NFL players sang back up on were I Know What I Like and Hip to Be Square. And the country that won three championships within 5 years in the Five Nations Champions was England. So Paul got his bid. Unfortunately, Will did not. Adam, let us know how this turned out.
For maybe the first time in history, a lawyer did exactly what he said he was going to do, and he bid 10. And I love you, Will. Just kidding. And Paul went for the 200 club and bid 80. So
right.
He is a newest member of the illustrious 200 club.
Pin me.
This is coming your way. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Paul, congratulations. We will talk to you later. Adam, who is he going to go on to play?
Yep. Paul will be taking on the bracket buster, Adam Wendell, who took down Michael Turner in the last one and Jeremy Goodson before that.
Okay.
All right. A good one to be sure. Will, unfortunately, it's always sad to see you leave. Now is your time if you want to do any kind of advocate or curse the dice or whatever.
I don't want to curse the dice. I just cursed John. But it is what it is. You know what? I don't know why we keep scheduling these things at times that are just awful for the way my mind works. But a couple of years ago,
the root canal.
While I was still on Novocaine, the same day as a root canal, and now the day after a concussion, and it really does make it tough to function. I'm going to chalk the Cheese Whiz up to that. I don't know about the rest of it, but I should have at least said Cheese Whiz instead of passing. That's just ridiculous. And I apologize to your listeners to have to put up with that nonsense.
Crazy with the
as
cheese.
Far as a shout out, I have the same shout out that I have every single time. The Spees put on entertainment for your benefit. You obviously love it. You listen to it every single week. You enjoy it. It brings you joy. And they use their own time and money to do so. They buy their own equipment. They put this together out of their pockets, subsidize that just a little bit, have a single fewer cup of Starbucks a month, and send them $5. They need the money so that they're not spending their own money to bring you joy.
Will, you're always so good to us.
You are incredibly nice to us, and we appreciate you, sir.
All right. Well, thank you again to Paul and Will. That's Adam, and I'm John. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
I'm John, and I'm the host of Action Action. Every week, I'm joined by James.
Heyo.
And Dustin.
Hello.
And each week, we review, debate, and rank a different action movie.
We're creating the ultimate list of action movies.
From awful to awesome.
So if you want to hear three more white guys with beards talk about action movies,
and argue about where they belong on our list,
and decide you hate us because we made fun of your favorite movie,
join us every Tuesday, and you can find us on your favorite podcatcher.
And Steven Seagal is a joke.